Good afternoon, everyone. So our topic today, Pa'usik b'mitzvah, Patur min ha-mitzvah, is actually relevant for us for two reasons this week. The first of which is the more obvious one, which is because it's found in today's Daf Yomi in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The second is the less obvious of the two, and that's because it's actually connected in some way to this week's Parsha. What is the connection between Osik b'mitzvah, Patur min ha-mitzvah, and Parsha Shmos? So the Pasuk says in Parsha Shmos as follows, Vayhi v'derech b'malon, vayif g'sheyu Hashem, vayvakish ha-mitzvah. So Moshe was on his way towards going to Mitzrayim from Midian, and he stopped at a malon, and Hashem encountered him there, and that was Vayvakish Hamiso. Hashem sought to heal Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, why is Moshe deserving of such harsh punishment in this case? It's not very clear from the Psukim as to why Moshe is deserving of punishment. And Rashi cites the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Lamed Beis, which quotes a Machlokas Tanoim as to the basis for Vayvakish Hamiso, why Hashem wanted to put Moshe to death in this case. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha posits that Moshe Rabbeinu is deserving of punishment because he refrains from circumcising Eliezer, his son. Since Moshe didn't circumcise Eliezer, therefore he was deserving of Misa. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. On the other hand, Rebbe posits that he's deserving of punishment because he prioritizes his stay in the Malon to the circumcision of Eliezer. Rebbe says that Chas v'Shalom, that we would think that Moshe Rabbeinu just refrained from having circumcised Eliezer. He was planning on circumcising Eliezer, but it was his misprioritization that was deserving of Misa. Because Moshe decided to stay in the Malon prior to doing his circumcision of Eliezer and fulfilling the mitzvah of Bris Milah, therefore, Vayif Kesheyu Hashem, Vayvakesh Hamiso. So we have two opinions in the Tanoim found in the Gemara Nedarim quoted by Rashi as to why Hashem was Mevakesh Hamiso. The Arich Lener of Yaakov Ettinger in his Pirush on Sukkah, Daf Chaf Heyam and Aleph, has a very interesting question with respect to this topic. And he asks, why was it that Moshe was deserving of punishment for having not circumcised Eliezer, since after all, he was Osek b'mitzvah? What mitzvah was Moshe involved in? So he was involved in the mitzvah of traveling to Mitzrayim to redeem Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed him as the Goel Yisrael, as someone who is going to redeem Klal Yisrael at that point, and therefore he was considered Osek b'mitzvah. And if he was Osek in the mitzvah of redeeming Klal Yisrael, then we should have applied the concept of Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. Since Moshe is involved in mitzvah A of redeeming Klal Yisrael, therefore he should be exempt from mitzvah B of circumcising Eliezer, his son. So why is Moshe deserving of punishment? After all, we should have said Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. So the Arich Lener explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was nonetheless deserving of punishment in this case for one of two reasons. The first possible reason is to say that Osek b'mitzvah does not apply to Moshe in this case because Moshe could have fulfilled both mitzvahs. Moshe could have gone to Mitzrayim and redeemed Klal Yisrael, and at the very same time, on his way to Mitzrayim, he could have circumcised Eliezer, his son. After all, Tzipora circumcises Eliezer at the end of the day. Moshe could have done the same, and that would not have impeded his journey to Mitzrayim and his general mission to redeem Klal Yisrael. So since it was Efshar Lekayim Shnehem, since Moshe could have fulfilled both mitzvos, therefore the exemption of Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah, should not have applied to Moshe, and therefore he was deserving of punishment. That is the first explanation that the Arich Lener suggests. The second explanation is to say that Osek b'mitzvah does not apply to Moshe in this case because the principle of Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah, does not apply to mitzvos that are subject to kares, like the obligation of Bris Milah. We know that one who refrains from a Bris Milah is chay of kares. There are two mitzvos, asay, two positive commandments that carry with them the punishment of kares if they are not fulfilled. One of them is Korban Pesach, and the other of them is Bris Milah. So since Bris Milah is subject to the consequence of kares, therefore, says the Arich Lener, Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah would not apply to such a mitzvah, and therefore, the mitzvah of Bris Milah should have trumped the mitzvah of going down to Mitzrayim to redeem Klal Yisrael. So the Arich Lener, at the end of the day, suggests two explanations. Number one, because Moshe could have fulfilled both mitzvahs at the same time. Number two, because the mitzvah of Bris Milah, subject to kares, is not included in the principle of Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah, and therefore should have taken precedence to the mitzvah of redeeming Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So based on this little tidbit from the Aruch Lener, let's discuss the sugya, the topic of Usig b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah. And let's focus on three questions. The first two of which are going to basically be to try to understand both of the explanations of the Aruch Lener. So our first question is going to be whether Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah is limited to cases of e'efshar l'kayim shneim, that is to say, cases in which both mitzvos cannot be fulfilled. If you have mitzvah A in which you're involved and you have mitzvah B that comes your way. So do we say Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah only when you cannot fulfill both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, or even when you can fulfill both mitzvah A and mitzvah B? And what might this question be dependent on? Why would we say one way or the other? That's question number one. Question number two is going to be whether Osik b'mitzvah is applicable to mitzvos that are subject to karis, like the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The Aruch Lener, in his second explanation, assumed not. But will we find opinions that assume yes, that apply Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, even to Asin Shiyashbo Karis, namely mitzvos that are subject to Karis, and what might that question revolve around? Why would we choose one way or the other? And finally, let's get to the basics of the question. What is the nature of the exemption of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah? Why is it that when one is involved in mitzvah A, he is exempt from doing mitzvah B? And do these first two questions reflect on that? On this third question, namely, do the questions of Efshar L'Kayim Shnehem and Esen Sheyesh Bohen Karis, do those questions reflect on the nature of the exemption of Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater Mina Mitzvah, and its other potential ramifications? So let's start from the very beginning, the nature of the Ptur of Osik B'Mitzvah, Pater Mina Mitzvah. And in order to determine the nature of this principle, we really have to start from an even earlier question. And that earlier question is, what is the chiddush of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah? Why would we have thought otherwise? As the Ritva, in his commentary in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chaf Hei Amun Aleph, one of the main sugyas of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, so the Ritva questions, and he says, why would we think to drop mitzvah A in favor of mitzvah B? If you're involved in mitzvah A, so stick out through the whole process. Why would you drop that mitzvah in order to do a different mitzvah? So the Rishonim have different explanations as to the chiddush of Osik b'mitzvah. Why would I have thought otherwise? So the Rambam in Pirsha Mishnayos, in Maseches Avos, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, where the Mishnah says, "Ein Adam Yodea Matan Scharan Shal Mitzvos," we don't know which mitzvos are more important, whether one mitzvah is more important than the other. We don't know what type of schar we're going to get for every mitzvah. So the Rambam, based on that klal, says that is the chiddush of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah. The foundation for Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, is the fact that we do not know the relative weight and reward of each mitzvah. Had we known the relative weight of each mitzvah, so then we should have gone through the calculation of the two mitzvahs every time that we're presented with a clash between mitzvahs. So if we have mitzvah A and mitzvah B, so had we known that mitzvah B is really a greater mitzvah than mitzvah A, so then the implication from the Rambam is that we should have dropped mitzvah A in favor of mitzvah B. But comes the Mishnah and Avos and the principle of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, and establish for us that we don't know the relative weight between mitzvahs, and therefore when we're involved in mitzvah A, we cannot know that mitzvah B that comes our way is a greater mitzvah, and therefore we should not drop mitzvah A in favor of mitzvah B. So that is the explanation of the Rambam as to the chiddush of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, namely that it establishes or corroborates the klal that Ein Adam Yodea Matan Scharon Shal Mitzvos. But the implication clearly is that were we to know Matan Scharon Shal Mitzvos, were we to know that mitzvah B is greater than mitzvah A, so then we would drop mitzvah A in favor of mitzvah B and perform the greater of the two mitzvahs. That is the approach of the Rambam. The Ritva, in his Pirush on Maseches Sukkah and Chaf Hei, takes a very different approach. And the Ritva argues that the chiddush of Osik b'mitzvah, Pater mina mitzvah, is to tell us that even if mitzvah B is a greater mitzvah than mitzvah A, even if somehow we were to find out that mitzvah B is greater than mitzvah A, nonetheless, when one is involved in mitzvah A, so then mitzvah B is defined as a davar shel rishus. Mitzvah B in the context of mitzvah A, when one is already involved in a mitzvah, so another mitzvah with which he is confronted is considered a rishus. The status of the mitzvah changes because of the context in which the person finds himself. Because he's involved in a mitzvah, therefore other mitzvos that come his way, which would normally be defined as obligations and mitzvos, now become like a davar shel rishus, like something that is neutral, not something of obligation. And that is the chiddush of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. The reason why when I'm involved in mitzvah A, I don't have to drop mitzvah A to perform mitzvah B is because mitzvah B at that time is rishus. And of course, we're not going to drop a mitzvah. We're not going to cease from doing a mitzvah in order to perform a davar shel rishus. So therefore, we should remain involved in mitzvah A. The Ashbat, Rav Shimon ben Tzemach, in his Pirush and Magin Avos, to the Mishnayos and Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, the same Mishnah that we quoted before when we quoted the Pirush Mishnayos, explains along the same lines as the Ritva, and he says that when one is involved in Mitzvah A, so no other mitzvos are incumbent upon him at that time. Mitzvah A should take up all of his attention. He's not obligated in any other mitzvos at that time, and therefore, if he were to drop Mitzvah A in favor of another mitzvah that coincides, so that would really constitute an affront to the first mitzvah. It would basically be to disrespect the first mitzvah, to drop it in favor of another mitzvah, since when one is involved in the first mitzvah, he's not really obligated in any other mitzvah. No other mitzvahs are incumbent upon him at that time. So let's summarize what we've seen so far. We've seen two explanations as to the chiddush of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. The Rambam thinks that it comes to establish the principle that Ein Adam Yodea Matan Scharon Shal Mitzvos. Since we don't know that Mitzvah B is greater than Mitzvah A, therefore we stick with Mitzvah A. But were we to know that Mitzvah B is greater, we would go to Mitzvah B. Says the Ritva in Sukkah, not that way. Says the Ritva in Sukkah that it's because when one is involved in Mitzvah A, Mitzvah B becomes like a Rishus, and a Mitzvah always, always takes precedence to a Rishus. So how do these aforementioned approaches reflect on the nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah? So we might suggest as follows. According to the Rambam, it would seem that the nature of the exemption is what we would call a dechia mechiyuv. And what that means is that according to the Rambam, when one is involved in mitzvah A, there's no reason to think that he's not also obligated in mitzvah B that comes his way. So he's obligated in two mitzvos at that time, but he has to choose between the two mitzvos. He's got to do either mitzvah A or mitzvah B. How do I choose? So I should choose the mitzvah in which I'm involved at that point. And what the reason why we would think that the Rambam takes this approach is because the implication of the Rambam is that had I known that mitzvah B was greater than mitzvah A, I would jump to mitzvah B. But what does that assume? That assumes that I'm already obligated in mitzvah B. That assumes that mitzvah B is an obligation, but it just happens to be that Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah says that mitzvah A takes precedence to mitzvah B. Were I to know that mitzvah B were a greater mitzvah, so then I would go to mitzvah B. That assumes that mitzvah B is an obligation at that point, and it's just that mitzvah A, when we apply Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah, it's that mitzvah A takes precedence to mitzvah B, it's doche mitzvah B, it pushes mitzvah B to the side, for the moment, until one finishes mitzvah A. So that would be the approach of the Rambam, that it's really betoras dechia, you're obligated in both things, but A takes precedence to B. Whereas according to the Ritva, the nature of the exemption is not a dechia, but rather what we would call a sense of hutra, a hafka'a mechiyuv. What does that mean? So that means that according to the Ritva, once I'm involved in mitzvah A, mitzvah B is no longer an obligation. The involvement in mitzvah A uproots the obligation of mitzvah B. So much so that mitzvah B is considered a rishus. So it's not that I have both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, and mitzvah A takes precedence to mitzvah A. It's that when I'm involved in mitzvah A, there is no mitzvah B. That is the approach of the Ritva. According to the Rambam, we're saying that the implication from the Rambam is that the nature of the exemption would be a dechia, whereas according to the Ritva, the nature of the exemption would be a hafka'a mechiyuv, a total uprooting of the chiyuv of mitzvah B. What would be some of the ramifications, some of the consequences between these two approaches to the nature of the exemption? So one nafkamina might be the question with which we began from the Aruch Lener, and that is whether we should apply Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah to a mitzvah that is subject to karis. For example, if I'm involved in mitzvah A and mitzvah B is bris milah, like the Aruch Lener's case, so bris milah is a subject to karis, but I still say Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. So the Aruch HaNer thinks that this is actually a machlokes tanoim in Maseches Sukkah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva think that Oseik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah does not apply to a mitzvah sheyash bo karis, whereas Rabbi Yitzchak thinks that it does apply to a mitzvah sheyash bo karis. What's the nekudas ha-machlokes? What is the root of the dispute as to whether Oseik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah should apply to a mitzvah sheyash bo karis? So it may very well revolve around the two approaches that we saw before. If we think that the entire nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is b'toras dechia, it's all about prioritization and precedence, and that mitzvah A takes precedence to mitzvah B, even though I'm really obligated in both mitzvos. And the reason for that, according to the Rambam, is because I don't know the relative weight of each mitzvah, and therefore I should stick with mitzvah A and over mitzvah B. So then when I have a mitzvah sheyash bo kares, that might be one case where we're not going to say ein adam yodea matan scharen shel mitzvos. We know that a mitzvah sheyash bo kares is the most grave and significant of mitzvos that we have. And if that's the case, so then if mitzvah B is a mitzvah sheyash bo kares, we might say that osik mitzvah does not apply in that scenario. After all, we know that mitzvah B is the more important of mitzvos, and therefore we should jump to do the mitzvah of bris milah. But according to those opinions that Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah applies even to a mitzvah sheyash bo kares, so that might make sense according to the approach of the Ritva, that the nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is a type of hafka'a mechiyuv. It's to say that when I'm involved in mitzvah A, it's as if mitzvah B doesn't exist. It's a mitzvah B becomes like a rishus, and therefore even a mitzvah sheyash bo kares also becomes a rishus in that scenario, such that mitzvah A would take such that we should remain involved in mitzvah A, because at that point it says if I'm obligated only in mitzvah A and not in mitzvah B. So the explanation going all the way back to why Oseik b'mitzvah did not apply to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Aruch HaNer suggested in his second explanation that it's because the mitzvah of Bris Milah was a mitzvah sheyash bo kares, that would align better with the approach that the nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is a dechia mechiyuv, and therefore that wouldn't apply in a case of mitzvah sheyash bo kares. Another interesting nafka mina is the first question that we asked, namely whether Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is limited to cases of Efshar l'kayim shneihem, or applies even, I'm sorry, is limited to cases of E Efshar l'kayim shneihem, or applies even to cases of Efshar l'kayim shneihem. This was a very important machlokas between the Rishonim. Tosfos and Sukkah and Daf Chaf Hei thinks that Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah applies only when it is impossible to do both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, only in cases of E afshar l'kayim shneihem. In contrast, the Or Zarua thinks that Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah applies even in cases of afshar l'kayim shneihem, and so too does the Ran in his Pirush in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amad Aleph B'dapei Harbif. And the question is, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas here? So the Kihilos Yaakov, and I believe other Achronim, suggest that this Machlokas between the Rishonim also revolves around the nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. If the nature of the exemption is a dechia, that one mitzvah should take precedence to the other, that the mitzvah in which I'm involved at the current moment should take precedence to another mitzvah that comes my way, so then that should apply only if E after l'kayim shneihem, like the opinion of Tosfos. But if I can fulfill both mitzvos, so why would I say that one mitzvah should push the other mitzvah to the side? After all, why not just do both? I'm obligated in both mitzvah A and mitzvah B. The reason why I would say Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is because I can't do both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, and therefore I'll take mitzvah A, the one in which I'm involved, over mitzvah B. But if I can do both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, so then the principle of Oseik b'mitzvah should not apply. That would be the opinion of Tosfos of E'afshar l'kayim shneihem. But if we think that Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah applies even to cases of Efshar l'kayim shneihem, where I can do both mitzvah A and mitzvah B, so how are we going to explain that? Why are we going to say that you're exempt from mitzvah B just because you're involved in mitzvah A, even though you really could do both mitzvahs? So one way of reading the explanation of the Ran in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph B'Dapei Harif, is along the lines of the Ritva that we quoted before, namely that the nature of the exemption of Oseik b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah is a type of hutra, it's a type of hafka'ah, that when I'm involved in mitzvah A, everything around me becomes like a davar shel rishus, a mitzvah B that comes my way, even if I'm able to do mitzvah B at that same point, is still like a davar shel rishus.
And therefore, I should not drop mitzvah A in order to do mitzvah B, despite the fact that I can really do both, because in that scenario, when I'm involved in mitzvah A, mitzvah B becomes like a rishus, and therefore it would be disrespectful to the mitzvah of mitzvah A to drop it in order to do something like a davar shel rishus, as we saw from the Pirush of the Rashbat in his commentary in Avos. Another possible ramification of the nature of the exemption of osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, is a case of is as follows: is whether one should recite a bracha on mitzvah B if he decides to perform it, if he decides to drop mitzvah A in favor of mitzvah B. So that there are certain mekoros that say that absolutely one would recite a bracha on mitzvah B. The Ma'arach or Zaruah and Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, the Meiri and Eruvin and Daf Tzari Vavim and Aleph both say that one would make a bracha on mitzvah B in that case. However, in the Shaar HaTzion, in Simon Tov, Tuf Ayin Hey, Sivka and Lamed Tes. So the Shaar HaTzion actually raises a suffix about a case where one is Mishamer Hames, one is looking after a deceased in order to make sure that the body is okay prior to kavura. And let's say it so happens that it's Leil Pesach and he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Would he make a bracha on Achilas Matzah while he is being Mishamer Hames? After all, he was involved in mitzvah A, namely Shimur Hames. Now he wants to fulfill mitzvah B, namely Achilas Matzah. Should he recite a bracha on Achilas Matzah? So according to the opinions that we said before, for sure he should recite a bracha. But the Shaar HaTzion raises a suffix. He says, I'm not sure. Maybe he should say a bracha. Maybe he shouldn't. Why would he not recite a bracha? So perhaps the explanation would be that if mitzvah B is really considered like a davar shel rishus in this scenario, since he's already osek in mitzvah A of Shimur Hames, so then we might not recite a bracha on mitzvah B in this case, because mitzvah B is really considered like a davar shel rishus. And since it's considered like a davar shel rishus, we wouldn't recite a bracha on it in this scenario. That might be the explanation as to the side of the suffix that why wouldn't say a bracha if I decide to perform mitzvah B, like achilas matzah in the case of the Shaar HaTzion. So it emerges from this discussion of osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, and the various sources as to its nature and its wide-ranging applications and consequences, is that the Torah clearly requires of us complete focus on the task at hand when we're involved in Avodas Hashem, when we're involved in Asiyas HaMitzvos. When we're involved in a mitzvah, we need to be focused on it so much so that not only do other things around us like Dvarim Shel Rishus not distract us from that mitzvah, but even a competing mitzvah should not distract us from the mitzvah with which we are involved. When we are involved in a mitzvah, so that takes up our entire attention. And that really, I think, is for at least two reasons. Number one is a more pragmatic reason, namely that focus facilitates a better performance of the mitzvah. If I'm thinking of more than one thing at one time, so I'm not going to perform the mitzvah as well as possible. If I try to multitask, that is going to end up diluting my performance of the mitzvah. But in addition to that, there's something more fundamental at play. And that is if I give my entire focus, if I dedicate my entire attention to the mitzvah at hand, so that reflects my attitude about the mitzvah. That is a statement that right now when I'm involved in the mitzvah, what occupies my attention is the mitzvah because I know about the prioritization and the import of being involved in Avodas Hashem and Asiyas HaMitzvos so much so that nothing can distract me from my performing. I wish everyone a great rest of the week.